Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, November 27th, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. The Sitka Assembly on Tuesday night was asked to make a donation on behalf of the city to disaster relief in the Philippines, and they said no. Instead, members volunteered to donate part of their own paychecks. KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz reports.
Assembly members Aaron Swanson and Benjamin Mayasato had asked the city to consider making a donation to relief efforts in the Philippines, where Typhoon Haiyan caused devastating damage earlier this month. The idea received a full-throated endorsement from both City Administrator Mark Gorman and City Finance Director Jay Sweeney. Here's Gorman.
I received comments very quickly from a number of sources that this would be a good idea in recognition of our Filipino community and the contribution that it's made.
In my opinion, there are just some times where you do something because it's the right thing to do. When I've seen the devastation that is in the Philippines, I think of what might happen with a tsunami here, and what comes to mind is, thus, by the grace of God, go we.
That was City Finance Director Jay Sweeney. Gorman and Sweeney said the city has money available in its nonprofit donation account and recommended a donation of $500 to $1,000. Mayasato offered a more personal argument.
I've seen firsthand what people, when they donate, when you hand it out to them, especially when they have absolutely nothing. I've been there on the street in Baghdad, Iraq, helping hand out stuff that United States citizens that collected and actually handed out to them, the difference it makes in their life.
But other members weren't so sure. Assemblymember Mike Reif asked whether it was the right use of taxpayer money.
In Sitka, we have many communities within the greater community. And each one of these communities can have devastation occur to them. The obvious ones are the fishers. You have them losing boats, losing life. But do we as a city, the city taxpayers' dollars, do we take money and then help these people out of their situation? Individuals have their homes burned down. A real devastating occurrence to these individuals. Do we actually take city taxpayer dollars to help them with their plight?
He was echoed by Deputy Mayor Matt Hunter.
I cannot think of a better place to donate my own money. However, I see this as not being the role of our municipal government to send money overseas. And I will not support doing so with municipal money. I will do it with my own money, and I will write a personal check. I agree very strongly with everything everyone said about how well this money could be spent there, but I think this is the wrong way to do the right thing.
So Reif suggested a solution, that assembly members each donate half of their own monthly stipend.
Maybe it's a challenge to this body. If we all really feel that way, I'm more than happy to give one half of one of my monthly checks as a city assembly.
Sitka assembly members each receive a stipend of $300 a month. The proposal caused some confusion about how it could be codified, since it didn't actually deal with city finances. So the meeting ended without a formal commitment, but it appeared that all six of the assembly members present had agreed to donate $150 each for a total of $900. Mayor Mim McConnell was absent because of a family emergency. There was no decision on where the money would go. Administrator Mark Gorman said assembly members could write checks to the city and borough of Sitka, and his office would choose a charitable organization working on disaster relief in the Philippines. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholtz.
In other business, the Assembly gave final approval for a sales tax holiday this Friday and Saturday, the 2 days after Thanksgiving. You can hear more on that story this evening at 5:19 p.m. on Raven News. The Sitka Assembly took a look at a concept for updating Harrigan Centennial Hall Tuesday night in a one-hour work session prior to its regular meeting. On Monday, architects from the Anchorage firm of McCool, Carlson & Green gave a similar presentation to the public. The team has been to Sitka for two previous scoping meetings to explore ideas for expanding the Sitka Historical Museum and increasing the size of restroom facilities. This time, the team was specifically seeking comments on the building's exterior entryways. Architect John Weir presented concepts for two entries to the building, one from the town side and one from the Crescent Harbor Dock. Both entries are tall, with high-peaked roofs over the doors. A proposed 9-foot-high sheltered walkway runs around the outside of the building to Kettleson Library. Weir played a short film to help the audience picture the design.
With a regional character featuring local stone and wood and references to Sitka's maritime culture, the new visitor lobby provides a generous public space.
But some of the comments from the floor suggested that residents did not think the entry and public space represented Sitka very well. Jim Steffen is a board member of the Sitka Summer Music Festival, a major tenant of the building each June.
The architecture, I don't think, is really Sitka. It's big city library, atrium kind of architecture.
Steffen's concerns were echoed by other members of the audience. The issue was not necessarily the aesthetics of the high entryways, but their function. Steffen thought they did not provide much real shelter for the building's users.
In my opinion, they're impractical because they allow too much weather to get underneath. And knowing how we use the building presently, people go outside during breaks and they socialize out there and they cool off and some people smoke and this and that. And those areas are very unwelcoming for that kind of use.
Harrigan Centennial Hall is often exposed to heavy weather from the south. Another speaker pointed out that the walkway at the ferry terminal has glass walls that completely shelter passengers. Architect John Weir said this was a feature his team had been discussing.
The side protection comment was something that we'd been talking about, and having it validated at the meeting was good for moving forward.
Following the meeting, Weir invited people to write their comments on sticky notes and post them on renderings of the building, where they say they want to make changes. The plans are available at Kettleson Memorial Library, or you can link to them on our website, kcaw.org. Although the national economy is improving, one aspect of Sitka's economy is still mired in recession, food prices. The steady climb in prices since 2008 has not reversed, and many families, though doing better, are still living close to the edge. At Sitka's Salvation Army post on the eve of Thanksgiving, staff and volunteers are busier than ever sorting and bagging food. KCAW's Emily Foreman stopped by to learn more about how food assistance has changed in the last few years.
Anyone who buys groceries in Sitka knows food here is expensive. So expensive that people might choose pre-cooked meals just to save the cost of electricity. So expensive that more people are coming to the Salvation Army for help.
We are pastors first.
Evadne Wright is an ordained minister. She manages the Sitka Post with her husband, who she refers to as Major Turney Wright. The room the couple uses for Sunday worship, prayer meetings, and Bible study is now covered with a blue tarp, and rows of Thanksgiving-themed canned goods. The turkeys were on the way.
So we can pick up the other stuff if need be, and there's no real rush, but if it does help. I'll make you cookies. Awesome! Thank you. Bye.
Evadne is from New Zealand and moved to Sitka for the Salvation Army post in 2011.
Love it. Don't want to go. So if the boss is hearing, leave me here.
Wright confesses she doesn't really understand the American custom of back-to-back holidays focused on excessive consumption, Thanksgiving followed by Christmas, but she recognizes that the people who come to her need help. That's enough motivation to keep her in constant motion, to make sure that those whose fundamental needs aren't adequately served have options and access to comforts of holiday tradition.
I don't put a criteria. If they walk in through those doors and are asking for assistance, they are an assistance need. It takes a lot of courage to walk through those doors and admit that you are not doing okay, that you need a hand.
Since Wright took over the post, she says the number of families requesting a box of Thanksgiving staples has increased.
Although not huge in numbers, last year we did 85. That's still 6 more families at Thanksgiving. This year, we are 90. That's 5 more families. So it's not huge spiky numbers per se, but out of the 90 families that are signed up, it is 305 people.
Wright started her post in 2011. That year, 79 families requested Thanksgiving boxes, up from 35 in 2010. This year, it's 90. But I was curious about the rest of the year, after the holidays, when we typically resume normal diets. Wright says the assistance need is still evident when looking at their food pantry numbers.
So some of the items are very generic, like the beans and the ramen noodles, although sometimes not the healthiest. It is the quickest way to sometimes fill a tummy.
Each month, families or individuals can drop in and take home a bag of food. In the past 3 years, the number of individuals visiting the food pantry increased by nearly 60%. That's 500 more people this year compared to 2010 visiting the Salvation Army for supplemental groceries. What's really staggering? According to the Salvation Army numbers, 15% or over 1,300 Sipkins participated in the food pantry program in 2013. But here's the thing. While the number of individuals seeking food assistance from the Salvation Army pantry has dramatically increased since 2010, the number of households has decreased. Wright has an explanation for this.
We have had an increase in family sizes, but not meaning lots of children and stuff, but grandmas who are raising their grandchildren. Grandparents who are on a fixed income, who have now got custody or are looking out for grandchildren because there are families who leave town to work to make it a better, to try and better themselves. But for sometimes it is not an easy thing to take your children along.
On a larger scale, the story is consistent with the increased number of people signing up for food stamps in Sitka since 2010. The State of Alaska Health and Social Services counted 820 people on food stamps for the month of September 2013. That's almost 1 in 10 Sitkins, a 17% increase since 2010.
And that report from KCAW's Emily Foreman. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. Have a wonderful morning and stay with us through the day if you can. Good morning.